This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Come on, man. You got like hour three, All Marine Radio.
I know. I'm still learning.
You're like, hour three? Was that a question or a statement?
Hour three,
All Marine Radio.
Is it hour three?
Yeah. Gunner's just waking up. He's going to join us here in a few minutes. I actually got an email about the Gunner. Hold on. I'll get to it. A lot of stuff going on. Behind the scenes here on All Marine Radio. Here's the email. Hey, did you know there was a read ahead for the change of command? Did you see that?
Yeah, I took a glance at it. Well, that's how I saw the seating chart.
Oh, yeah, the seating chart, a little sensitive. So you're going to be in the other tent, and I'm going to be enforcing that rigorously. So if you try to migrate to my tent, I'm going to tell you there's going to be some shit that goes down.
That's right. Gunner will look out for me.
Yeah, Gunner, he was doing late additions. Here's the email. Good morning, Mac. It's exciting that you took this road trip to see your boys. Opportunities like this come together are few and far between, especially as we age. Have a blast. Tell Gunner it was cool listening to him describe his memorabilia and his firearms. Travel well. That's the Onion Man from Vacaville, California.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah. So, and then Napa Man, he just updated his ETA. It was like 13-something. Now it's 14-13.
We'll be there.
Just landed in the ATL.
Atlanta, baby.
Yeah. But, yeah, he interrupted a vacation to do this.
I know. That's great.
So his stock went up. Like, Montana Man, his stock went down. You should be shorting Montana stock.
Urban Meyer all over the news. Like he's...
Yeah, how perfect was that happening just before we went to visit two big-time Ohio State guys? Yeah, so it was awesome. It was awesome. So a little gift to the rest of us. And but Napa Man, his stock rising. And hopefully you'll meet Napa Man. Napa Man's never been on the program, but we're going to lobby him to be on tomorrow after the show.
I hope he makes it.
Yeah, no. We'll see if he'll grace us with his presence tomorrow. So anyway, normally hour three, we don't have too much structure to it. I don't know if people have noted that. Have you listened to the program? Hour three, not so much structure. Would that be a fair characterization?
Yeah, but sometimes I think some of your best topics come from hour three. Like, if we kind of go down to some rabbit holes and you kind of dive into some deep topics, I think actually hour three, I think, has been some of your best discussions.
Or some shallow topics. One of the two.
Well, usually Gunner will start going down something that then you kind of just kind of diverge, and then you're like, God, how did we
get here?
Yeah.
And it's also infected with ADHD or ADD. What is there? I don't like AD. What is ADHD?
Well, obviously it's like attention deficit disorder, right?
Well, no, that's ADD.
Okay.
What is ADHD?
I don't know. What's Gunner? He might know. I'll have to ask him.
Why would he know?
I'm just saying he might know. Well, he usually has either an opinion or he has knowledge of just about everything. So
you know what that, and if he doesn't, he might fabricate a little bit, right? Because of that's the way some of us tend to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, tell him the philosophy of the general. I mean, you don't. What is it? Never pass up an opportunity. What is it?
It's General Dunford. Mac, never pass up an opportunity to shut your mouth in front of a general. Pretty good. Pretty good advice.
That applies to about 90.
What'd you think about being in the general's, pretty nice general officer housing at Camp Lejeune, yes?
Oh, yeah, you can tell they did a good job of that. They keep them up nice, and then obviously right along the river there, I mean, it's just gorgeous.
It was a little awkward. We did not initially get invited to the party, and then we showed up and had some fun.
I kind of felt like we crashed the party a little bit.
Well, you could see it wasn't like a general party.
No, he had his family there.
Yeah, it was just family and friends, and he didn't think that we were going to be there. So here you go. I'll take that one.
All right, I'm here now, and then joining the program from Granbury, Texas, by way of Jacksonville, North Carolina, is none other other than himself, Michael Musselman. Gunnar, how you doing?
I'm tired.
You are?
Yeah.
You really? You were. Mike, so we go to this party, and Mike sees recruiters he knows. There's not a whole lot of people in the Marine Corps that Mike might not have known, but it was pretty fun. We were having a good time anyway. First of all, let's talk about, we haven't really talked about the stop in the gas station the other night. So we went and we saw Luke and Emma. And we had dinner with them, and it was awesome. Great to finally meet them in person. So we had a really nice visit with them. And then we were leaving Huntsville, and we wound up in a gas station. Now, I might take it from there because some shit happened.
No, I mean, we were in Gurley. I mean, that's not spelled with an I. So we were in Gurley, Alabama, and... There was at first there was a police officer from Gurley, and then a deputy sheriff rolled up, and so we started talking. Mac was inside, so we started talking to him, and then we were just talking about everything. And
yeah, I go inside, and I think, and he was behind me.
Yeah,
and he never comes in, and we're like getting coffee or something, and. That's a wire loose in a microphone, so every time I touch it. But anyway. He never enters. I go into the bathroom, all the things you're supposed to do when you stop when you're driving. I get some tea, and he still doesn't come in. And I look like, what the hell is he doing? And now he's got two police officers around. The cop is really funny. He's smoking a cigarette.
That's James.
James Pearson or something like that? James Patterson?
No.
Starts with P.
No, sort of the M. I just talked to him this morning.
But anyway, he's telling the story. Yeah, I responded. This thing was going on, and I had to be on traffic control. And these girls were selling Krispy Kremes, and so, you know, how could you say no? He said, so I bought a box. So I had the trunk of my car up, and the Krispy Kremes are in the trunk of my car, and I'm smoking a cigarette, and the TV camera is on him and being beamed to the city. And his supervisor calls him and says, is that you I'm seeing smoking cigarette, eating Krispy Kreme? Did you have your pistol out then?
We went over to my truck, and so then we were holding my Glock 19X, checking it out, aiming down the sights. We have the gun out in the middle of a gas station in Alabama, aiming it at the ground, of course.
11:30 at night. It's awesome.
Yeah, and then Garrett showed up, the young cop. He just joined the force. I think he's 6 months, he said. He just finished his training officer. He got certified out. And he rolled up, didn't know what was going on at first, because he sees two guys he knows, cops, talking to two strangers, holding guns.
Maybe I should check that out.
But no, it was a good time. I mean, one of the older deputy sheriff guy, 39 years as a paramedic, and then he did some firefighting stuff, and then now he's going to do some police work. But we were talking about trauma, different things. We talked a lot about situation awareness stuff and, you know, what they go through, the training they go through. And it's just, again, the cookie-cutter stuff that that was in the Marine Corps as far as watching an hour video once a year, keeping the thing up. And then, you know, and like the stigma is still there in the police department, as they said. no one wants to let their guard down, show that they're weak by saying, hey, I got a problem. I need to talk to you about something. I've seen things that normally I wouldn't see. And they were really interested in what we were talking about and what the show was about. And, you know, we kind of pimped them for, you know, would it be interesting if we brought first responders on and talked to their type of trauma? Because, you know, the mantra we were talking about a couple days ago was there's all sorts of trauma. And we're not here to tell you that there's different levels or different tiers or your trauma is more than somebody else's. Everybody deals with it differently. But what we try and talk about is, you know, to deal with it. I mean, not to put it aside, not to bury it, but, you know, find people that you confide in and talk to about it. Because, you know, the thing is, a lot of people don't like to talk about it because they don't want to feel judged. They don't want to feel like a lesser person. They don't want to feel weak. So we end up trying to talk to our wives like Luke did, or in his case, his fiance. And then they really can't relate to it, so you get a little upset because you're trying to get them up speed and they just don't get it. And then, you know, you get more and more frustrated with them. So maybe your spouse sometimes is not the person to talk to as far as what you went through, but how you're trying to deal with it. There's a different level. And the cops really understood that. They get it. You know, and then, like you said.
You know, one of the things I was surprised with, Mike, is when, so I walk out and so I join this conversation and Mike's preaching the gospel of, post-trauma, dealing with it. And so I'm like, this is unbelievable, right? We're in northern Alabama at 11:30 at night, guns out, smoking cigarettes, talking about this stuff. But it's really cool. And what they talked about was, well, we get videos about, like, post-traumatic stress disorder, but it's how to spot it,
mm-hmm.
right? Not
to deal with
how
it.
How to live with it. And so it, even that was interesting, the number of people that are, you know, that are – that are kind of, you know, still at a loss. And then another really cool part happened at Luke's house. And so, you know, the way my thoughts have evolved around this, and, you know, Mike and I, this is going on our third year that we've been doing this, but I think our understanding has changed, that we've discussed it more, and it stays in your head, and you think about it, and that, you know, we want to be an exporter of best practices relative to post-trauma life. And in that, you know, and again, my example is my sister. You know, her pain dwarfs anything, you know, of mine anyway. And is she's a great role model for me. And so we talk about that. And then, you know, and then part of, you know, and Emma said, you know, that she had been affected by an incident in her life that was very traumatic. And it's actually one of the things they do have in common. So it felt really good to have broadened that definition and then her kind of pile into it and say, yeah, I can relate. And really cool, really cool. And so Mike holding court here in the gas station.
Yeah. And it goes to, and we're not downplaying the work that therapists or psychologists, or, you know, those type of people do, but after listening and talking and doing more of this, I started to realize maybe it's not the right thing for everybody.
Everybody.
You know, Luke's case was he needed, you know, his balls busted by, you know, he what he was missing was that tribal togetherness where, you know, hey, I got a problem. And we talk about it, but we do it with a joking manner. And, you know, but it's tough love. And everybody's different in such ways, you know, and I kind of look back when I had to sit on the couch of the therapist and talk about it. And it is that typical, you know, let's talk about your life and how you became. It has nothing to do with, you know, okay, but what we're trying to talk about is how do I deal with it? How do I cope with it? How do I live every day with it? How do I make decisions with it? You know, how do I control the anger? How do I suppress the anger? Whatever it is. And that normally doesn't really come out until maybe the 12th or the 14th visit, but I could see now that a lot of young people in different areas, especially, you know, again, first responders or wherever, you lose kind of the belief unless you really kind of stick it through that, hey, this is really working for me, and you get sidetracked, and so it kind of falls apart. I think there's some goodness in the fact that, you know, you need to talk about it. I think it needs to be that whole, you know, like the Me Too movement came out. Same thing, you know, let's talk about it, the trauma movement.
And yeah, the peer-to-peer
part. Yeah, peer-to-peer part. And that's, I think, the most important part where people can really understand. And, you know, in Emma's case, I can't relate to what she or her trauma was, but I understand what she's going through.
Right.
You know, so and so it's, hey, like you said, we take satisfaction in the healing process. For us is when we help somebody through that or give them some kind of tools on how to struggle with it.
Now, I'll give you an example. We're driving away from the gas station, ultimately. I don't even know what time it is after we've been. Wow. So it's like 12:30.
We're in zombie mode at that.
So we get in the car. But you felt awesome, right?
Yeah, I felt like, you know, these guys, we're staying in touch. We exchanged numbers, you know. And we walked away with the sense of, we may never be back through Gurley in Alabama, but those guys are going to remember that incident, and they're going to hopefully bring it to their forefront in their thought process, and, you know, they're going to talk about it, and hopefully they'll listen to the show, and but we can grow from there. But, yeah, it was a really good experience, really fun.
That was fun. All right, can you explain the mule, donkey, horse thing? The hybrid.
No, I thought we were past that stuff. I hate talking about it. When were you guys talking
about? We were talking earlier.
Oh.
Which one's the hybrid?
It would be the mule.
So the donkey's pure, the horse is pure.
Donkey's a pure species, and so is the horse.
So the mule is the hybrid.
Right.
Are you good with that?
Right. Mules cannot reproduce.
See, we couldn't figure out who the hybrid was. Mule cannot reproduce.
Yeah, they're sterile.
I didn't know that.
Why am I asking a gun of this? But why can't it?
I don't know. I don't make the rules of law in nature.
Right. Wow, that's interesting.
Mule's the hybrid.
I
have no idea. No, but why make the mule?
Because the mule has the attributes of a horse and a donkey, where they can pull, they have the stamina, they have the endurance. So what you're doing is you're taking the best qualities of the horse and the best qualities of the donkey and combining them and making a mule.
And you can ride the mule, right?
Oh, hell yeah. Mules, you know, that's where you get mule trains. And, you know, they can carry a lot of weight over long distances. You know, they're stout, smaller animals, so you don't have the size. You know, so everything's better if you're packing out, you know, with mules. I don't know why you can't do that with a donkey. Maybe the donkey doesn't have the endurance like a horse does, or the strength of, again, the stamina over time. But that's where those things come. And I don't know who thought of this. Hey, just put these two guys in the corral and see what happens. But
I think it was probably an accident. I don't know that it's. I mean,
well, and,
like but, a lot of way, a lot of good stuff happens. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, hey, we got a flood. Put them all in that corral.
There is a difference, though.
What?
And if Montana man listening, he's going to call him. But there is a difference if it's a male horse and a female donkey, or a male or a female horse and a male. I mean, there is a difference there. I don't know what that is. I don't get into that stuff.
There's subspecies.
We spent way too long on this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. Now we know that the mule's a hybrid. MH.
Yeah. Mule is the hybrid.
There you go. Rudy, are you happy now?
I guarantee you ask me next week, I'm going to say, which one's a hybrid? For some reason, I just can't get my head around this. But I think mule hybrid. All right, I'm going to work hard to remember this.
MH.
There's got to be a way that we can identify mule as the hybrid. I don't really know, because I used to do, like, aboard a ship, right, port starboard. LP is an album. Left is port. That's how I used to remember it. RS are consecutive in the alphabet. So right, starboard. How about that for a little... do you have a little acronym knowledge for
no,
us?
No, you just remember this way. This is what was taught to me at sea school, was ports got four letters, and so does left.
Yeah. Well, how about the green-red? How do you remember that?
By the colors.
Yeah, but how do you know which one's port and which one's starboard?
Huh? Green-red?
Like, how do you know with green or red, like, which one's port, which one's starboard?
It's the old, there's a saying... about coming into there is a saying about boating when you're coming into, and I can't remember, it's like a little rhyme, but
which one's red? I can't remember. Red's left, green's right, or is it red's right, green's left?
I'm trying to think of the rhyme.
Are you kidding
me? No, there's a rhyme.
You're an aviator, you're supposed to know that shit.
They don't come into port. There is a rhyme
unbelievable
about coming into port, and I can't remember.
Here, I thought you were so smart for so long, and I find out you almost flunked out of high school.
I would put money that Green's right and Red's left.
If you said that, then I'm going to go the opposite.
Okay. Because I always remember it's left is port because of four letters, and your star is right, but I think Green's right and Red's left. I think so.
Yeah, you might be right.
It's never really impacted me because I never, was driving a boat. I was in the back, or driving the aircraft. I was in the back that as well. So I saw the lights. They have red and green lights on them. I wonder why one's red and one's green.
It's the way you give way to...
another vehicle.
Right.
Mike's a boater. Or at least he used to be. Yeah. Now he's a land lover. All right, so...
Okay, here we are. Red over green. Where'd it go?
Red over green.
Red... What? Red over red, the captain is dead?
That's not a good one when they're saying that. Well, if you're the captain, it's not.
What do you say?
There you go.
What? But there's a rhyme, though.
Oh. What's the rhyme?
So port is red and on the left.
That doesn't even rhyme, though.
I know, but the way the rhyme goes is, this is the whole thing. This is actually pretty cool. I never heard the whole thing. Red over red, the captain is dead. Red, white, red, because there's white in your boat. Restrictions ahead.
Your white's in the rear.
Yeah. Red, 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 no clearance of below. Red over white, eating fish tonight. That's a good one. I like that one. Green over white, eating shrimp tonight. White over red, pilot head. Red over green, I'm a sailing machine. Green, 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 flashing blue, the law's got you. Yellow over white, hawser's tight. Yellow over yellow, I'm a tug pushing tow.
Oh, I didn't know there was a yellow.
Yeah, tugs have toes.
Okay.
I know tugs are yellow. Two whites in a row is a tug and a tow. Three whites in a row, a tug is in a long tow. One stern light will show when a tug touches tow, flashing yellow inline tug.
There you go. Well, so it's green's right, red's left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I remember that. I was down in deep. I had to dig the files a little bit, but I found it. It was in there. It was in my head.
Yeah, that's the rhyme to remember getting navigation lights. That's the lengthy one.
All right. Now, I talked to Rudy last hour about he's not a big fan of North Carolina.
Neither am I.
Why? But yeah, actually, Mike is.
I don't know about North Carolina.
Okay, we'll talk about that. I don't know somebody who served as long as Mike, I'm sure there's probably Marines that have done it, but Mike on active duty for 31 years and never served at Camp Lejeune.
This is my third time ever being here.
It's amazing. That is not like. That is not a record that's to be flouted. It's not easy to do because especially at one point, I don't know, in the 80s and 90s, they were like, no, you have to switch coast. What? I don't want to. Everybody wants a homestead on the West Coast, but you got to go. And it was mandatory that you had to flip coast. It was like, oh, man.
Diversify.
I do not want to do this. Let's start with, what do you like about North Carolina?
That they grow tobacco in the fields.
It's true. We got into North Carolina, and he says, hey, look, tobacco. I'm like, what was that?
So why is that important? Because Copenhagen is cheaper to buy in North Carolina.
The stock up?
Yeah. I like Carolina barbecue. I like seafood, so the crabs and stuff are really good down here to eat. I think I'm running out of, that's about it, yeah.
I'm out of slits.
Yeah. I mean, yesterday, I think we walked out of here, and it was like 95% humidity.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, and it all looks the same to me. Like, it's like, no matter what street you drive down, it looks like the same street. It's
right.
Like strip malls and small hotels, and it's just the same little restaurants. It's the same.
Yeah.
That's the way they built it.
That's so unfair to the to the Carolina people that you would say it's so the same. Really?
I mean, it's a beautiful state. I don't get me wrong. I mean, it's lush. It's green. And always, it's got that look. And you look in the woods. It's got the that ivy that's always overgrowing. It's really thick.
That we hate.
Yeah. When you're walking through it, yeah, there's nothing worse.
Yeah. All you have to do is bump into it, and it's storing all water from the rain.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's and then
what
the,
I see. What
the
I see
ticks too. I hate ticks, and there's a lot of ticks down here.
Ticks, and
there's a lot of ticks
and chiggers.
Ticks,
man.
And chiggers. Yeah.
I remember when I first heard about chiggers. What's a chigger? Oh, they're insects. They crawl into your skin, and then they lay eggs, and it itches like crazy. And
yeah, it makes you break out in a rash. And then when it's hot and humid, it's aggravated more. I mean, it's just...
And then the way... So we used to get them out in Quantico was they said, if you scratch them really good, and then you put bleach on a washcloth, and then you wipe it over what you've scratched.
Or rubbing alcohol.
What? Yeah. Okay. And so you'd see everybody had this, like, red line around the top of their... Around the top of their fruit. Yeah. It was disgusting. Chiggers. The habu was in like that. Like, chiggers, like, what? Like, what kind of insect is that? But the habu is like, it bites you and it doesn't let go. Like, wait a minute. Aren't snakes supposed to strike? Or, like, boa constrictors, I get it. They crush you and then they ingest you. But a habu, you bite and then you don't let go? What kind of snake is that? It's like a suicide event.
Well, they're Japanese snakes, so.
It's the whole kamikaze. That's they got the kamikaze thing, the habu. So that's what you like? Are we already out of things you like about North Carolina?
Yeah, that's, I'm trying to think. No, I mean, I can't. I don't like the Atlantic Ocean.
It sucks as an ocean.
Yeah, it's not blue, it's green.
Yeah.
It's warm.
Surf.
It's warm water. There is surf, but it's like
little tiny surf.
It's shallow as hell. I mean, you have to go miles and miles off the coast.
Yeah, to catch a wave.
Yeah.
Where is he? He's over the horizon. He'll be back in 2 days. Yeah, he loves to surf out there.
I mean, if you're a big fisherman, the intercoastal waterways is really good, nice.
Is it?
Yeah, a lot of fishing. If you're a boater, it's a really nice place to be. But I mean, they get ravaged by hurricanes and storms. And, what we're experiencing today is it's cloudy and overcast and rainstorms are coming through. And don't get me wrong, I like rain. But it's just over and over and everything's just damp. And then after it rains, the humidity goes back up again. So it's like 92 degrees outside and it's 98% humidity. And every time you go outside, you want to take a shower again. It's
kind of gross.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, we love it. It's gross. Then you walk outside, you're like, oh, it's like Okinawa, right? You walk 15 feet and you need another shower, no doubt.
On Camp Lejeune is desperately trying hard to hold on to like all the traditions. So you look at the houses; they all have the placards with everybody's name on it. Whereas in California, they have the placards, but no one's names in them. They're more traditionalist out here when it comes to the Marine Corps. You see those things like,
they haven't made great improvements to the base.
The base is beautiful.
Right.
I mean, they've dumped a lot of money in improving the quality of life for these devil dogs. But it goes back to, and Al said it best. And, when we were in here yesterday, buddy of mine, Al Butler, was in here, we're talking, and he said, the thing, or maybe it was Kylie, one of them, but Kylie's his wife. She's a saint. And
Al just got home from Okinawa Wind, like, yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday. And so, and congratulations to Al, because he got selected to the lieutenant colonel. And that's a big deal, especially today in today's Marine Corps. But, in California, the Marines can get away from the base. They can go to San Diego. They can even go to San Clemente.
Do we want to have this conversation? Because this is kind of like... a lead in to the infidelity discussion.
Yeah, we can tip. We can. We'll tease into this, and then. But in California, the Marines can get away. Really simple. I mean, you can get to San Diego. I mean, even San Clemente. You get into San Clemente, which is right out the gate, and you're into a small town, beach city. You feel removed, and you get down to the water's edge, and you just there's so much more relaxation. You're just away.
It's not Marineland anymore.
And even though the Marines in California tell you that, man, we get a lot of pushback and things like that, but they're still accepted. You know, they like the Marines. They love the Marines. Newport Beach has a huge contingent of people of support.
Huge.
San Clemente has 8 every year. They got a statue down by the pier. Oceanside, the same thing. They tolerate the Marine Corps. Yeah, Marines are a little rowdy and crazy sometimes, but they love their Marines. San Diego is a huge Marine base. Again, proud traditions of military. So you can get out. You can go to the desert. You can go dirt bike riding. You can go to the mountains, you know, within a day trip. You can go walk through the mountains. And, you know, during the seasons, you can go ski in Arrowhead. I mean, there's a lot of things to do right off base. Lejeune, what they're talking about is you can't. You come off base and you're in Jacksonville or you're in Swansboro. You're in, you know, all these other places. Even if you get down out, is they're telling us a lot of these college towns don't even let the Marines in the bars, you know, because they just don't want to deal with it. So there's a different
binge drinking and unprotected sex. I mean, who needs more of that in their life?
That's bullshit, though. That's
what?
Yeah, you know. Okay, so three of us were three Lance Corporals, and we get a survey in front of us and says, "How many times do you have sex? a week? Oh, I have it 14 times. You know, and it's like you liar." You know, come on. You just
so
quit.
You don't believe Marines
don't
are
believe
leading the league in binge drinking and unprotected sex?
No, I think
and that female Marines are having 20.3 partners. No, is it 20.3? It was 20.3% of them had unprotected sex with more than one partner, and males were 19.7. It's like, what? The females are ahead of us?
No,
did
I think
they lie
that's
more
a lie.
In the survey?
I think it's yeah. I think it's manipulating. I mean, again, where's the control? I mean, you're taking the kid's word for it. You know, how many partners have you had in the last month? 40.
So you think the people that choose door number 4, even in the survey, are going to have fun with it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if someone put that, if I was a single Lance Corporal and somebody said to me, "We're taking a survey. How many women have you slept with in the last year?" 300 would be my answer.
And you would skew the whole study.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
300.
Other than this one, Lance Corporal.
150 of them were supermodels from Europe.
Other than Wilt Chamberlain, who evidently joined the Marine Corps. So you're like, that's bullshit. It's all over. And now they're getting deeper into the statistics of the study.
Now, there's truth to this.
But don't you think it does make some sense that group, which would look at the Marine Corps and the craziness and the challenge, would enjoy that and would also enjoy craziness and challenges in other parts of their life?
Here's what's unfair about that study.
Binge drinking and unprotected sex would all go along with it.
Okay, here's what's unfair about this study. I'm not in the Marine Corps anymore, so I'm going to be a little bit non-biased.
Okay.
Most Marines are better looking than any other counterparts in the service. So,
wait. This is your unbiased opinion?
Yeah, it's my unbiased opinion. So if you take five Marines out, five soldiers, five sailors, five airmen, four out of the five Marines are going to be way better looking than their counterparts. So they're going to be in better shape. They're going to fit. They're going to be more of the alpha male. They're going to be more attractive to the opposite sex in a lot more ways than our counterparts in the Army. And I'm not docking you guys. You guys are good looking in your own ways. But most Marines, if you look at Marines in general, Marines, we have better looking wives than our service counterparts. We have better looking girlfriends. We are better looking ourselves. This is my unbiased opinion, and because this is what I've seen.
In 31 years.
Yeah, and I've worked with a lot of these guys.
All right. So now dovetail that into.
So we're attracted more by the opposite sex. So maybe that is true. Maybe they have more. partners because you're blaming us because we're better looking and in better shape.
Yeah. And so
we're a better target.
So she obviously wants to have sex with me. I don't have any way to protect myself, and I'm just going to say, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't do it.
Yeah, that would probably be the...
That would probably be the least chosen option of the 15 options that you could select. That's the one we're not doing, okay?
Right.
That's the one we're not doing. Okay, all right. Rudy, you got any thoughts on the binge drinking, unprotected sex piece of the program?
Well, I think that surveys are surveys. I think Mike, he's hitting it right. It's like, well, how you answer a survey is how truthful are you really being. You know, some people want to inflate. Some people want to, you know, maybe the Marines are being more honest or maybe they're being less honest. I don't know. But I think there is some validity to the fact that Marines tend to live, I think, a little more of a fast-paced lifestyle, a little more high-risk lifestyle, and that probably leads to their social activities being a little more high-risk. You know, I bet you we also lead the DOD in, you know, traffic accidents and speeding tickets. You know what I mean? I bet you we do. I mean, you go down, drive down I-5 at from 7 in the morning to 8 in the morning or from 1500, 1700, and it is the Marine 500. I mean, those Marines are doing, you know, 90 miles an hour and 100 plus on their motorcycles. I mean, it is. It's kind of like what Mike says. Like, I'm just telling you what I've observed. Like, it is, and they all have the, you know, the camouflage or the, you know, the khaki backpack on. It's just, usually they have their combat boots on. You know, it's like you can tell a mile away that it's a Marine, and as it, you know, you're stuck in traffic and they come splitting down the lane at, you know, 40 miles an hour faster than you're going.
Okay, give us your thoughts on his unbiased opinion, Joel, to how good-looking Marines are and how good-looking their wives are. I mean, unbiased, 31 years.
It's hard to argue with his expertise.
It's hard to argue.
All right, so now we're going to migrate this. So we're driving through Arkansas at some point, and I don't know, neither one of us liked Arkansas for some reason, but Mike begins to kind of unload on me his theory relative to infidelity by geography. And so I thought it would be a good thing to share with everybody. And so, and let me just tell you the funny part of this, okay? I'm laughing as he's telling it to me. And much of what the Gunner's done in his life, it's not like he hasn't thought about this a lot, because he goes into a lot of detail about why this is. And you listen to it, and you hear it, and your instinct is to say, that's bullshit, right? But what came out of my mouth is like, that's the truth. So anyway, it comes up yesterday when Al and his wife are here.
And
she
says,
boom.
You nailed it. Because you look at...
Okay, hold on. Before you do analysis, give everybody this philosophy of infidelity and geography and infidelity.
We were talking about this area, Camp Lejeune, is that there's in my mind, there's a higher rate of infidelity amongst couples here in Camp Lejeune. And the reason being was because, one, the young Marine, a young girl from Kentucky, wherever it is, and brings her here, and now she's experienced the same thing he's. There's nothing to do. There's nothing here. And then he's constantly deployed. So unlike Camp Pendleton, where there's a lot of training right there on base, they go to the field, they do things. There is some training, there's some ranges here, but to do that type of training, they're gone. They go up to Virginia, they go to Fort Benning, they have to leave the area. So they're gone for months at a time, not to include their deployment. So they're continuously gone. The young girl's here, there's nothing for her to do, so hello, Tinder. She's finding herself, she's being swept to the right a lot because she's a girl. She's been transplanted from out of here because, you know, again, I'm not saying there's just not that kind of pickings here in this region where we're at, Swansboro, North Carolina. And so they become the attention. So now they're out in town and everybody's paying attention to them. And unbeknownst to them, the kid comes back from deployment and, you know, first for the divorce. You know, we were talking about that because she was laughing. She's like, and of course, when his unit's coming back, and there's several cases they were talking about that's what's going to happen. That
there's
already
three
divorces
I know
that I know of. And you know,
I've already dropped the paper.
And Al's like, no, there's going to be more. There always is. Whereas in California, the difference is again now she has something to do. She can meld into the environment because there's a lot of people like her, and you know, friends and other things like that. So that's what it came down to. It just came out to, you know, young Marines here. If you bring your wife here from, let's say, Southern California, she grew up in, you know, as a beach girl and blonde hair, blue eyes, your typical California girl, and she's out here.
Very much.
Yeah.
The same kind of profile as
she's going to get the
Tina, just so you know, just for the record.
And she's going to get the cat call. She's going to get the people coming up. So either you're going to be in a lot of fights, or you're just going to accept it. So that's what we were talking about. And
that's Mike's philosophy of geography and infidelity.
Has something to do with it.
And plus, if you're better looking, if you're in the Marine Corps, you'll be better looking. And that's all part. Okay, so Rudy, now that you've heard it in detail, what do you think?
Well, Marines have good-looking wives and good-looking girlfriends, and you're in an area where there's a... What do you think the ratio of guy to girl is here? I'm thinking 3-1.
Probably 4-1.
Yeah, I'd say 4-1 guy to girl.
And
yeah.
If you say... Now, I'm going to be superficial here and a little narcissistic, but we're going to say, like, in the category where I would be, like, say, hey, these are the category that I would be interested in, that number jumps exponentially high, maybe like 24-1. You know, it's like, because the pool, we're talking about the entire pool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't swim in the inner pool. Okay, I only stay in one little area. So that little area, that pool, you know what I'm talking about, Rudy. I know you're a nice guy. You don't like to say things that are mean or hateful or, you know.
The Gunner, he's so unfiltered. I think that's what everybody loves about him. He just tells you
how
it is.
But you sit there and I could see your face like, you're right. Yeah,
he's right.
Yeah. Because, you know, Rudy's got the same standards. I mean, for Christ's sake, he's a fighter pilot, you know. They got even higher standards than us ground pounder guys.
And look at his wife.
Yeah,
that's
his
all
wife
you have to do. She's on his cell phone. Whoa, look at that.
Yeah.
It's a nice looking dress. Huh? Are you kidding me?
I mean, she's perma smile, always happy.
Not always.
Yeah.
Not
well, always. Not when we're around, she was.
Not always. Yeah. Someone's upset with Rudy. All right. So that's, you know, again, and when you hear Mike say it, you want to say that's so bullshit. Geography doesn't have anything to do with infidelity. And then everybody who you say that to, they're like, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Without even thinking about it, they're like, yep, nailed it.
And Al's wife. What's your name?
Kylie.
I mean, Mike didn't even get through the whole, right, syllabus before she went, nailed it.
Yeah. And Kylie graduated high school here in Jacksonville. She was raised by, you know, her family was military. Al graduated high school, and that's how he met. Well, Al met her because Kylie tutored him in math in high school. So, yeah, it's like, that's the best tutor I ever had.
Oh, that's awesome. No, but you go out to California. I mean, now, you know, one, the guys, the guy-to-girl ratio isn't near what it is out here. So, and then, of course, you look to your left and right, like the women, you know, obviously the women are with the Marines out on the West Coast. They've got a lot of competition out there. You know what I mean? So, they're not as in high demand as they are out here. I mean, so here in North Carolina, there's just not that many, you know, really, I would say, you got the kind of Marine, the standard Marine, girlfriend, Marine, wife, attractive, young, you know, between, I'd say, 25 and 40 years old, and that's just the way it is, you know.
But, you know, the difference is, here's the difference. If you go up to Bragg, you know, Bragg's the home of, you know, Special Forces guys
and
Squirrel guys. Those guys, they have beautiful wives. Why? Because they're like Marines. I mean, when I say Marines, we're high impact guys. We like things. We're challenging. We like to do this stuff. MARSOC, same thing. You know.
To me, that's why those statistics make sense. It is high risk behavior. You know, if we were all 21 years old and we were going out, would we binge drink? And binge drink is like 5 drinks in the course of a night, you know, 3 times a month. It's all of us. Yeah, I'm a binge drinker then. If that's the definition, then you bet I'm a binge drinker. okay? And so we're 21 years old, good-looking girl, right? We get back to her apartment, and we're going to have sex, and it's like, oh, you don't have a condom? Yeah, all right, I'm out of here. That's probably not going to get said, okay? And so it's, I mean, I think it's behavior endemic.
I mean, it's, yeah.
To me, it makes sense because it is that high risk, and the guys in Bragg, if you bust the Bragg guys out, they would be at the same.
If you bust the Bragg guys out, you bust the
same behavior.
The Ranger battalions and all these other same behavior, same type of style.
I will tell you this: when they were polling relative to women in the combat arms, there was only two. There was one branch of the military and two segments of the military. The branch was the Marine Corps that was adamantly against it. The segments of the military were Army Special Forces and the Marine Corps were opposed to women being in. So it's the same behavioral group.
Same, yeah.
Right. Notice they said behavioral, so you'd know that it's scientific.
Right.
Male donkey. This is from Cookie up in Montana.
No, it's from my brother-in-law.
Oh, Harry.
Okay.
Harry says male donkey plus female horse equals a mule. So what happens if you have a female donkey and a male horse? We don't know. Does Harry know that? I guess we'll find out. Film at 11. We're on this whole donkey thing. All right, it's going to be a big deal on All Marine Radio, just so everybody knows. We're committed to it. Okay. So the all right. Any thoughts on the change of command? Mike was holding court at a. You were holding court with a bunch of recruiters last night. Mike tells a really funny story, but I don't know the story about the guy running down the street in Fallujah. Is that as funny on the radio as it is when you're telling it in public?
What story?
The story about the moves that story.
Oh, that wasn't the recruiters.
I know, but that was a funny story last night.
Yeah, Rudy kind of heard this story.
No, I heard it when I was here.
Oh, yeah. That's a funny story.
Okay. Is it as funny on the radio without, like, the hand and arm gestures?
No, it's just as funny.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was one of those. So this is a story that was that I didn't see. I was there, like, right after it. A guy named Todd Mulder, who was the other platoon commander in weapons company. We call him MAP, Mobile Assault Platoon or whatever they call it, and it was a typical night in Fallujah where we're taking a rest and refit, and so Amtraks are parked down the road off the left and right, and they come in, deliver chow, more ammo, more stuff, water. So big tracks are like staggered down this road, and behind them are the Humvees. So this is, you picture a road in a not so well liked city, so like Cleveland or something like that, downtown. Now I'm just busting on you, but anyway, going down the street, and then Marines doing all sorts of stuff. So in all different states of alertness and dress, some got helmets, some don't. They're just moving gear, you know, kind of getting everything ready for the next day. And then behind that, there's what we call Swannies, and Swannies were an Iraqi special forces group that were trained, and they augmented Marines in different areas. So you got about a company, which is about 50 Swannies sitting behind them, eating, relaxing, and then there's a building at the end with a courtyard, and in the courtyard are some SEALs, more Marines, and everybody's just chilling out, relaxing, telling stories about what happened that day. And then in the middle of all this comes running a guy in all black carrying an AK-47, running right down the middle of the road past all these Amtraks, you know, and using the Amtraks is kind of like bounding. So he bounced to one, bounced to the other, but goes running all the way past and goes right by the company gunny who's yelling, you know, to stuff get down. And Al says, you know, well, Todd said it too. He said, what was funny and probably the craziest thing was the gunny didn't yell at this guy for not having a cover on. And so he runs past the gunny, and as soon as he gets to the Swannies, the Swannies look at him. He's wearing black pajamas with a commando vest with AK magazines, carrying an AK. And the Swannies all start yelling, Muj, 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 which was short for Mujahideen fighter. You know, so
which is in Afghanistan.
Yeah, but we just said Mujahideen, right? Yeah.
For anybody. And then the Iraqis
started picking it up. So if you could picture 50 Iraqis down the stretch of a block, you know, they're all strung out. And as he's running by, they're all pointing at him, going, moosh, 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 moosh. And you hear this, moosh, 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 moosh. And this guy's running and past everybody. And then finally, the Marines start realizing that something's amiss or something's going on. And he jumps into this courtyard, which is the company headquarters, the company CP. And he takes his AK-47 and he's like Rambo. He doesn't shoot anybody. He just shoots in the air. Like, ah! And he just goes full automatic with the AK, shooting in the air. At the same time, now the SEALs are doing like, what the hell's going on? So they're just scrambling for their gear, and they're trying to, you know, figure out what the hell's going on. And this guy's standing right in the middle of everybody. But that's that obvious that no one ever looks at. You're like, where were you taking fire? Oh, right next to me? No. It's got to be outside the wire. So they're all running to the wall or running to their positions. And so the Marines are scattering and getting their stuff, and this guy's shooting in the air. And then after he gets done shooting, he disappears. And that was kind of, and then now they know they're looking for this Muj, this insurgent. And so they're searching the courtyard for this, and one of the Marines passes by this 55-gallon barrel of diesel fuel with the top off. So 55-gallon barrels, you know, what, 4.5 feet tall. It's a pretty big barrel. And it's to the brim with diesel fuel. And he looks by, and he sees a faint shadow of a person just below the surface, but bubbles coming up out of the diesel fuel. What had happened was this Muj guy, to get away, did like the Sylvester Stallone where he jumps into the thing and but doesn't have the straw, and jumps in this diesel barrel, and he's hiding, holding his breath, in diesel fuel, which, wow, I'm pretty impressed. And so the Marines say, he's in there. And everybody looks, and they see the bubbles, and they see this guy in the diesel fuel. So what they do is they all load up and take a step back, so, you know, a dozen Marines, and they just empty their magazines into this diesel fuel into this guy. So now you got fuel come pouring out of these holes. It was one of those, like, surreal, like, I can't believe this happened. You know, like, this is one of those things that no one will ever believe it. And if we put it into a TV miniseries, at some portion as you're watching this, they would say, oh, yeah, you had to really kind of go out on this one, didn't you? This is kind of make-believe. No, that stuff really happened. Not all the time, but every once in a while, some pure craziness would surface, and it was just really, really, really hard to comprehend. And this is one of those stories that kind of left there. And it was funny. I mean, it was really, you know, no. I couldn't stop laughing when I was being told this when we were in Texas.
Because it does sound something like Apocalypse Now.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's, like where I said, the bridge of Apocalypse
you're
Now.
You're moving water and MREs and ammunition. All of a sudden, from right down the middle of the street comes a dude. And then he starts shooting, and everybody's like,
yeah.
Funny. All right. That'll do it. We're done. We're headed to the airport later. Pick up Napa Man. I hope he didn't wear, like, clothes that his wife picked out, because he's got some room, ground to make up. So we'll pick up him, and then a couple of the friends are going to be here. And so, big night tonight. So going to be awesome. So, all right. Maybe, I don't have to ask Mike what you're doing the rest of the day. I kind of know. And change of command tonight, 2nd Marine Division.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Going to be good. All right. Kurt Knowles, Rudy, any final thoughts?
No, looking forward to tomorrow. We're going to do it again tomorrow, right? Hopefully, yes, maybe so. All right. It's hard to compete with you two. You guys are experts. I'm just hanging on.
Well, it's been kind of the way it's always been, though, Rudy. So that's why we like having you around.
He's like the Dr. Drew in the Adam Carolla show, you know. Carolla's like all over the map, and then you got this Dr. Drew that comes on and talks all like really nice and proper and, you know, well, absolutely. And
there you have it. Yeah. All right, that'll do it. We're out. So, first of all, thanks to everybody for listening today. This program repeats itself, and it's a good one. We heard about momentum training, and you're going to hear some funny stories about the trip over, and also the parties we've been to. So, Almarine Radio out on location, and it'll continue next week. So the shuffle joined me, and I think we're going to try to get Napa Man to join us in the roundtable. And so that'll be fun. He's never made an appearance on Almarine Radio, so we'll keep his identity secret. But he's pretty funny. Napa Man is funny, and he has this thing he used to do in Iraq. He'd just yell out, like he had Tourette's syndrome. And like nothing would be going on. All of a sudden he'd yell, "And we're back!" Like he's an FM disc jockey in Afghanistan. So we'll see if he'll join us. But anyway, have a great day. On a Thursday, Amarin Radio. Over and out.